If you really want to make a change and you really want to make a difference, you really need to be thinking about what's on your plate from a meat and dairy perspective and looking for alternatives and choosing those.
Hello, eco-conscious viewers, and welcome to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. On today's program, Meredith Niles of the Center for Food Safety speaks about food production and its relation to climate change. The Center for Food Safety is a U.S. nonprofit organization established in 1997 to protect the public health and the environment of the United States by working to end harmful ways of producing food and encouraging organics and other sustainable alternatives. Currently, the center has numerous initiatives, including promoting organic farming, seeking to end the use of GMO or genetically modified organism crops, raising awareness regarding CAFOs, or concentrated animal feeding operations, and their connection to climate change, and informing the public of the hazards of food irradiation. The organization has over 85,000 members throughout the USA. Ms. Niles, a vegan, is the climate and agriculture consultant at the center and also the director of the Cool Foods campaign. The campaign is one of the center's most important projects and seeks to publicize the link between food, particularly livestock production, and global warming.
Cool Foods campaign is actually a project of the Center for Food Safety, and we launched this April 2008. The campaign is really trying to give people a viable option, to empower them with an opportunity every day to make a decision that's good for the environment and for the planet and for climate change. Mm-hmm. We eat 3 times a day or more. Mm-hmm. And it really is such an empowering thing. Mm-hmm. If you care about the environment, if you care about social causes, if you care about how CAFOs and animal production impacting rural communities, if you consider yourself an advocate for green jobs, clean energy, climate change, look at your plate.
The U.S. is now moving forward with climate change legislation. In June 2009, the House of Representatives passed the American Clean Energy and Security Act, which would establish a cap-and-trade system with an objective of a 17% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from 2005 levels by 2020. One of the campaign's goals is to shape the final version of the climate change law so that it comprehensively addresses the highly polluting livestock industry, which is responsible for the majority of global greenhouse gas emissions.
We're seeing that climate change legislation is going to be coming probably in this country this year, especially with Obama being committed to that. So we're really interested in trying to understand the ways that agriculture, and actually in particular animal agriculture, and CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, would be included within that legislation.
California, USA is considered an exemplary state for its green policies and enacting a landmark climate change bill in 2006. The law requires California to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 25% from 2006 levels by 2020.
We have to be thinking about the ways that we can reduce greenhouse gas emissions in all of these policies that are going to be coming down the pipeline. And so we're focusing on California as a model for what the rest of the country is going to develop. So we've been making a lot of comments there, really trying to push some wide reductions, looking at nitrous fertilizer, nitrous oxide emissions, manure management on farms, and also just really trying to encourage a more localized food system.
As another tool to reduce emissions, the campaign is advocating that all government programs subsidizing intensive livestock production, such as the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, or EQIP, in the United States, end.
EQIP was a program that was initially started to really give incentives to farmers to conserve land, plant trees on their land, that kind of thing. The 2002 Farm Bill actually fundamentally changed the EQIP program. It made it much easier for CAFOs and animal agriculture in particular to receive EQIP funding, and at a much higher rate than anything else. So now there's a mandate that 60% of the funding actually goes towards livestock activities. And now it's also easier for them to get funding to build manure lagoons or to actually even build larger CAFOs in some cases.
The center also advocates that factory farms be held accountable for destroying the environment.
So the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, can actually be better enforced so that CAFOs that are emitting and polluting would actually have to pay for the pollution that they're producing. If they were forced to actually pay for all the pollution that they're putting out there and the human health and the environmental impacts they have, they wouldn't be able to operate on the level that they do, and they would be unable to exist, basically.
Residents of rural areas are extremely affected by the massive amounts of pollution released by factory farms. Their drinking water often becomes contaminated with nitrates and phosphorus from the manure that is generated. Many suffer from respiratory illnesses from the fouled air, and some even experience psychological problems such as depression.
Looking at CAFOs, they pollute the air, they pollute the water, they affect rural communities, they affect farm workers. They're really disastrous for a lot of reasons. And if you go to a rural area like eastern North Carolina, you will see the people that are affected by this every day and have to live with this pollution.
After these brief messages, we will return with more from our interview with Meredith Niles of the Center for Food Safety. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home on Supreme Master Television. Our program today features Meredith Niles, director of the Cool Foods Campaign for the Center for Food Safety. The center believes that meat production is an inherently inefficient way to use our precious natural resources.
I know Pimentel, who's a researcher at Cornell University, Pimentel and some others have estimated that about 13 kilograms of grains are required to produce 1 kilogram of animal protein. So it's an energy and efficiency thing, first of all. And all the water that's required to grow those crops, all the pesticides, all the fertilizers, it's a huge, huge number. Corn and soy are the number one users of pesticides and fertilizers in this country. So as we're feeding the corn and soy to the animals, we're using all those fertilizers, all those pesticides, go on to those crops that then go on to feed the animals.
Concentrated animal feeding operations are breeding grounds for deadly diseases.
The way that animals are confined in these types of systems really exacerbates the types of diseases that they're capable of getting. The reason that they are given so many antibiotics and hormones is to offset these tight, confined spaces. So as they're kept in close quarters, they're more apt to get diseases, they're more apt to get E. coli, salmonella, all of these horrible things that we're seeing in the United States especially really increased in the past couple of years, the outbreaks of salmonella, of E. coli. They're not coming from peanut butter. They're not coming from leafy greens. These are fundamentally coming from animals and from manure that's being spread on these other products.
Ending factory farming would lift a great burden off our planet. A study by the Rodale Institute in the USA has concluded that if the Earth's 3.5 billion tillable acres were all converted to organic farming, 40% of current CO2 emissions could be absorbed by the soil.
Organic agriculture inherently uses about half the energy inputs that conventional agriculture does. Organic agriculture is increasing biodiversity, increasing diversity among plants and animals on the system, being better able to adapt to droughts because it has increased water retention in the soils. We will need to obviously adapt our farming systems to be able to better withstand some of those impacts, and organic is uniquely situated in that sense.
In their recently published paper, Livestock and Climate Change, in World Watch magazine, former and current World Bank environmental experts Dr. Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang conclude that more than 51% of human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions come from the livestock industry. These experts also point out that factory farming puts out enormous amounts of methane, accounting for more than 37% of all anthropogenic sources. This toxic gas has 72 times the global warming potential of carbon dioxide over a 20-year period. Dr. Goodland and Mr. Anhang conclude that adopting a plant-based diet is the first-choice solution to climate change.
There's actually been a few peer-reviewed scientific articles that have looked at this and have found that the single greatest thing that you can do to reduce climate change is to stop eating meat or to eat fewer amounts of meat and dairy products. And they found that this is more efficient than buying all local produce or all local products. It's more efficient than switching your vehicle type. You could switch to a Prius, but if you're still eating a hamburger every day, it doesn't matter. You're negating those issues. So it's really important to think about this. And what is really great about it is that it's something we can do every day. You know, we eat three times a day, maybe more. And it's a really tangible, easy thing that we can do if we're really concerned about climate change. There were definitely some studies that have shown that a vegan diet has the lowest global warming potential and also a variety of other environmental impacts.
A plant-based diet, besides being excellent for the Earth's environment, is economical as well.
So you don't actually have to spend more money to become environmentally friendly. You don't have to go out and buy a Prius, you know, switch your car. You can think about your diet. And, you know, tofu, beans, all these great vegetarian sources of protein are oftentimes a lot cheaper than meat anyway. So, you know, it's not an expensive switch that you have to make. It's a very green switch, something that makes an impact immediately, right away, today.
We sincerely thank the Center for Food Safety and Meredith Niles for seeking to end intensive animal agriculture operations and for informing the public regarding the environmental devastation caused by the consumption of animal products. Following an organic vegan diet is the simplest and quickest way to stop global warming and is something that everyone can do very easily. Organic farming benefits public health and the environment immensely. May the Center for Food Safety's efforts lead all farmers to embrace this eco-wise cultivation method and all consumers to make eco-friendly food choices.
My name is Meredith Niles. I'm the director of the Cool Foods Campaign at the Center for Food Safety. And on behalf of Supreme Master Television, I'd like to say be veg, go green, and save the planet.
For more details on the Cool Foods Campaign, please visit www.coolfoodscampaign.org. Caring viewers, thank you for your noble company on today's episode of Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Coming up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May your life be filled with compassion and abundant love from heaven.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE